chapter number 30 for a few moments. And we're going to mention another three verses like we did last week, and hope that it'd be a blessing to you as it was to us today and during our study time. But last week we were looking at the subject of admirable things out of Proverbs 30. And we looked at verse number 29, 30, and 31. And we looked at the lion, we looked at the greyhound, the he-goat, and the king. Verse 29 says, "There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going." They go well, they're admirable. And we talked about the lion and how he kind of just walks around in his courage. And we talked about the greyhound and its strength is found in its loins. And we talked about the he-goat and its leadership, the king and his following. And all those things are very admirable. Tonight I want us to look back in verse number 7 down through verse number 9. Verse number 7 down to verse number 9. There are many things in Proverbs 30. Of course, we mentioned last week about a message we preached a while back on the wise counsel from God's critters out of verse 21 through verse number 27. I'm sorry, verse 24 through 27. But tonight I was looking at something, or I want to look at something tonight that I was looking at during the course of the week out of verse number 7 through 9. And the Bible says in verse number 7, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still, and take the name of my God in vain." We believe that the writer, of course, it says in verse number 1, is a man named Agor. It says the words of Agor. It's kind of hard to understand who this man is. He was acquainted with Solomon in some way, some fashion, some relationship. I do not believe it's the same person as Solomon. But this was Agor's words. This was Agor's prayer. He said in verse number 7, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, a life prayer. A life prayer. Agor, as much as I've studied, as much as he's mentioned here in Proverbs, he was a man who wanted God's best. He was a man who understood that his safety and security was within the Lord, and being under the umbrella of his guidance and grace was the best thing for him. But Agor was also a man that was very aware of his frame, as we said Sunday night. It's better to stay out than to get out of bondage. And he was aware of his frame. He was aware of life. He was aware of how things operate. And he had this life prayer. Tonight we've heard of, and I'm sure all of you have, I know I do, I have at least two of life verses. Pretty sure we all have a life verse, at least one. I have many, but there's two of them that jump out to my mind that I have concerning life verses. One of them is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the verse that God gave me when I got saved. My life had changed so much and so drastically that that verse has just never left me. One of my life verses. But then Proverbs 3, verse number 5 and 6, talking about trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your paths. That's a life verse because so many times I try to make sense out of things. Yet the Bible tells me to not lean on my own understanding. And so that involves trust. Even at my ordination, Brother Berman, when all the deacons were coming down and then Brother Berman came down, he whispered and he prayed that those two verses in my ear. And it's forever stuck with me. We all have life verses, but what about life prayers? Life prayers. They can be verse prayers, such as Psalms 23. And you know that verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Many times they're on programs at funerals and memorial services. There's other verse prayers, such as the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse number 9 through 13. And I mentioned it just as I was praying out here. Our Father, which is in heaven, which art in heaven. Not only these life prayers, they can be verse prayers. They can be verses of the Bible actually recited, but they can be your own personalized prayers as well that are Bible-based. And I want to read them to you. These are just life prayers. Many of you know, I'm sure has heard this one before. This is the Serenity Prayer. God, serenity to accept things cannot. A good life prayer, personalized life prayer. It's backed up by the Bible, of course, Bible principles. The prayer of serenity or the serenity prayer. But then I got to looking at, there's a prayer that I like today. I sing the widows and widowers prayer. Listen to this. And this is prayed by a widow or a widower for both. Lord Jesus Christ, during your earthly life, you showed me compassion to those who had lost a loved one. Turn your compassionate eyes on me in my sorrow over the loss of my life's partner. Fill this emptiness until we are together again in your heavenly kingdom as a reward for our earthly service. Now listen to this. Help me to cope with my loss by relying on you even more than before. Teach me to adapt to the new conditions of my life. That's deep right there. Teach me to adapt to the new conditions of my life and to continue doing your will. Enable me to avoid withdrawing from life and make me give myself to others more readily so that I may continue to live in your grace and to do the task that you have laid out for me. That's a prayer of widows and widowers. Talking about personalized life prayers. And then what about this one? There's a prayer for those addicted to drugs. Listen to this. Most loving God, we ask your blessing upon all who suffer from addiction. Strengthen them to reach out for help. Enable them to take the first step to recovery. Bless them with the persistence to persevere in the fight to be free. Give courage and hope to their families, drawing them closer together in the power of your love, which alone can transform our living. Amen. And how appropriate that prayer is for the day and time we live when people upon people are taking their own lives in suicide. Drugs and addiction and then it having a rippling effect upon the families. And then just this verse impacted me because it's also to the family members, you know. Families, take courage to keep supporting your loved ones to their recovery. But then lastly, there was a debt prayer. Listen to this. Lord, I confess I've made mistakes. I have accumulated too much debt, and now I cannot imagine overcoming it without your help. Please, Lord, I beg of you to intercede on my behalf. Provide me with the financial means to be able to breathe again. Please forgive my sins, Lord. Walk with me and help me to make the right decisions throughout my life and to be recovered from a life of debt. In your name I pray, amen. These are just some examples of life prayers on a personalized level. There's life personalized prayers, but then there's verse prayers such as Psalm 23. And we all have our own prayers. Again, you know, sometimes we pray out of repetition, and we can just make those repetitious prayers some of our personalized life prayers. And but tonight, let's look at this man, Agur, out of Proverbs 30, verse number 7 through 9. And he gives a life prayer. Again, in verse number 7, he says, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Three things I want to mention to you out of these three verses. Number one, verse number 7 tells us the duration of his life prayer. In verse 7, he says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." And so this man, Agur, he had a duration of this prayer. It was to be over the span of his lifetime. He wanted this protection during the course of his whole lifespan. And that's why we entitled this a life prayer. He says, "Two things have I required of thee," or "Two things have I asked thee. Deny me them not before I die. Lord, allow these things to pass from me. Lord, I pray for this umbrella prayer over my life to protect me throughout my whole life." That tells me that he cared about his spiritual life, this man Agur did. He wasn't interested about the ups and downs of the world, the ins, the outs, the like I said last week, they used the word fancies of life. But he wanted to be right with God. He wanted to stay right with God. And so he made this his life prayer. And he said, "Lord, allow it to be until the day that I die." Kind of reminds me of David when he says in Psalm 139, "Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Make me in the way everlasting." That's the kind of prayers and praying where somebody wants to follow Jesus and continue, hates their sin, maybe hates the struggle with faith and doubt and just wants to believe God, but there's that struggle there. It's a lifelong prayer for help that David prayed, and this is a lifelong prayer for help that Agur prayed. And so in verse number 7, the duration of this prayer, and it was to be a lifelong prayer. Notice in verse number 8, we see the details. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." He gives us the details of his life prayer. And number one, part of the details of his life prayer, he wanted and he prayed for maintenance. He prayed for maintenance. In verse 8, look what he says again. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." The word vanity here, it means emptiness. It means nothing. It means something that looked like something but was nothing. Something that looked promising. Something that looked pretty. Something that looked like it would be enjoyable, but once it was partaken and once it was tried and tested, it was nothing. It was vanity. It was just flesh, feeding the flesh. This man, Agur, he prays this prayer for maintenance. He says, "Lord, remove far from me all vanity, emptiness." And tonight, I know that we all could understand that. We've all tried things that were empty, like them moon pies I was talking about Sunday night. Them things are empty, empty calories, full of sugar, no good for me. That's vanity. That's vanity. I should have got an apple instead. being more wholesome, I should have ate some green beans instead of a moon pie. Boy, that's a stretch. Wanting something sweet and going for green beans instead. I love green beans, by the way. Remove far from me vanity. And so he's given details of his prayer, and he prayers for maintenance. Lord, keep me on this path, a straight path. Let me not indulge into things that are empty, because I know the after effects. Can anybody I'm not going to ask you to testify, but I'm pretty sure everybody in here could say that you have done some things that after you've done those things, it doesn't have to be anything in depth with sin or anything like that. Just anything that you did it and it wasn't what you thought it would be. I mean, you lost time, you lost money, you lost patience, and things along those lines. I believe this man Agur is praying. He said, Lord, remove far from me vanity or emptiness. And then he says lies, of course. Lies, speaking of the promise of fulfillment from these things that are vanity. These things that are promising fulfillment. These things that are calling my name and wanting me to reach out to. But after I partake of them, it's just a lie. I believe also that Agur is talking about false doctrine. He's talking about different kind of belief systems that are out there. And he's wanting to stay within the lines of the scriptures, and he's wanting to stay within the lines of God's word. He notice what he says in verse number 5. He says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so, talking about being a liar and lies, he said, Lord, I know your word and that it's cut straight, and I know what to do in life, and I know the don'ts, and I know the do's, and I know when you add your blessing on something, and I know when I choose the empty things of life, and I'm sold a lie, and I played the fool. He said, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. He said, God, I want to go on with you. Please, please, as my life prayer, Lord, remove far from me things that are empty, things that wear me down, things that use me up. And, you know, tonight I'm making that my prayer as well. Lord, help me not stress over things that I know you're going to work out. Lord, help me not stress. And really, I call it the merry-go-round of stress. It's these things that always work out. You know they do. Not because something mystical is working them out, but God's working them out. You've been there before. You know, God always opens the door. It's a merry-go-round stress. And so that's my prayer tonight. Lord, remove far from me vanity and lies. Lord, when I go to the doctor, if something should ever be said, help me not believe when I walk out the door the lies of the devil saying you're going to be dead or you're going to die. Now, we know we have a part in living as well. We have to go after good health, and we have to do the things we're supposed to do. But that's my prayer tonight as well, to, Lord, remove far from me vanity, emptiness. Lord, I know the end result of this. Help me not go that way. And anything that may cause me to even go down the very entrance of that pathway, help me go the other way. You know, sometimes in life, we'll always go down that pathway, especially if we're used to it, but we know the end result, and we've tried to fix things to not go down that pathway. Sometimes you just got to cut it off. I mean, you just got to sever that thing. What does the Bible say? If the right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. You know, sometimes in life we try to maneuver and we try to work things out so we can accomplish things on our own for our struggles or setbacks. And we always end up at the same place, the merry-go-round of stress and heartache. Sometimes you just got to cut it off. And within this prayer, I believe he is praying for maintenance. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Now, there's a second part of this prayer concerning the details. Not only he prayed for maintenance, but he prayed for balance. He prayed for balance. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. And listen to this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. The word convenient means prescribed. This man realizes that God has an allotted provision for him every day. And he's trying to stay out of the realm of being presumptuous and wantingness. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me He says, feed me with food convenient, prescribed for me. Lord, give me what you have. Lord, I know what it's like to do without, and I know what it's like to have plenty. Lord, it seems like when I have plenty, it seems like I forget about you. And when I have too little, Lord, it seems like that I'm bitter towards you. Lord, I'm trying to speak in Hagar's mind here. But Lord, just give me what you have for me. That's a mature prayer. I mean, who doesn't want to have more, you know? I mean, there's that part of you that wants to have more, because if I had more, then I can get more. You know, more means I could get. But listen, at the end of the day, is more going to bring us closer to God? That's the question. And then on the other side of that coin, less might bring us away from God as well. And so he's praying this mature, balanced prayer. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. He goes on in verse number 9 and says, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. I didn't want to make this my main point, but I'll go ahead and say it. He really prayed to be middle class, is what he did. He said, Lord, I don't want to live in poverty, but I don't want to be rich. I want to be middle class. I want to be balanced. I kind of refrain from saying that, you know, just because. But anyway, he prayed to be middle class. He wanted to be balanced. We see the details in verse number 8. And then I want you to notice in verse number 9, there's a dread here as well. There's a dread. There's the duration, lifelong prayer. The details, he prayed for maintenance and balance, but then the dread. You say, what do you mean dread? Well, look what he says again in verse number 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. So his prayer had to do in verse number 8 of maintaining him from vanity and lies, and then his prayer had to do with being middle, and he gives us a dread. He said, Lord, only give me what you prescribe for me, because in verse number 9, he says, I know me. I know me. Number one, he says, I can be self-sufficient. Look what he says. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? He's saying that the Lord has helped me out. And I know me, and the Lord has blessed, and he will continue to bless. But he's saying that there's times in life where I get to a place where I feel like I've got to where I'm at. He said, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Who's the Lord? Have you ever met anybody that God has blessed and blessed and blessed, and it seemed like the more they blessed, the less at church they were at? And they just tapered off away from church, and now tonight they're not in church anymore. Well, that all goes back to the kind of nature we have and frame we have. And, you know, God helps us and God lifts us up, and sometimes we forget who got us there. If we're not careful, we can be like Hagar and feel like that we'll forget the Lord and feel like it's something that we did. It's kind of like the turtle on the fence post. It is evident somebody put that turtle there. That turtle did not get on that fence post by itself. Somebody put it there. Hagar said, God has put me where I'm at. And I know my flesh. I know my frame. He said, this is my dread. I'm self-sufficient. I feel like I got to where I'm at. So he says, Lord, verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, because I may get full and deny you and forget about you. What a mature spiritual prayer that is. That's my prayer. You know, Lord, bless. You know, Lord, rain down the blessings, but God, only rain it down as my maturity can handle it. Let me ask a question tonight. What if you woke up in the morning, went to the mailbox, and there was a million-dollar check in your mailbox? I mean, you don't have to say nothing. I mean, I know. I mean, we're all different ages in here. I understand that. And kind of like the moon pie example I gave on Sunday. Now it's $1 million example. Let's really think. Really, really think. Would you be more faithful to God with that $1 million than you are right now? I mean, there's a potential there not to be. I'm not saying that we can't handle money, because God will promote you along as you can handle it, and if it's His will, that is. But suppose you had $1 million in the mailbox. Would that hurry us along serving God? You know, who knows? Who knows? I got a suspicion that there'll be some things pop up in my mind that I've been wanting for years. That, but that's why I'm not going to have $1 million in my mailbox. But he said, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The dread was, there was awareness of his weakness, of self-sufficiency. He didn't want to get to the place where he forgot about the Lord. And if this man felt like that, if he had $1 million in his mailbox, he'd forget about God. There's the potential of all of us feeling that way as well. Now, again, in verse number 9, there's a second part of his dread. Not only that of self-sufficiency, but of bitterness. Look what else he says. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now, today I was looking at that phrase, take the name of my God in vain. Basically, it means to be used loosely, roughly, or irreverently. Not as it would be when you're in prayer, you're calling upon him for help, or you're praising his name. Now it's being used loosely and roughly and irreverently. He said, I don't want to get to the place in my life where because of poverty I'm stealing and using your name irreverently. You know, he said, because of these things, he says, Lord, just give me what you have prescribed to me. And this is his lifelong. But it's his dread in verse number 9. He knows his frame. He knows he can falter. He knows he can fail. Perhaps he's enjoyed the pleasures of having plenty, and he knows what it's like to be in poverty. Paul himself in the New Testament has said the same thing. I know what it's like to be abased. I know what it's like to abound. He said, in all things, I've learned to be content. And so this runs parallel, Agor does, with Paul, with what he said. And so this is a lifelong prayer. Look at verse number 7 again. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. That's the duration. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And that's the details. It has to do with maintenance, and it has to do with balance. And then in verse number 9, the dread, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. That's the lesson tonight, just those three verses. And again, just felt led to share with you about a life prayer. We all have, I'm sure we all have life prayers in here, whether they're verses of the Bible or personalized prayers. I'm sure we all have life verses. But just challenge you to get in that prayer closet. And the next time you feel like it's routine, and I just said it in there, because sometimes I feel that way, that it's repetition. But on the other side of that, when I'm praying those repetitious prayers, I mean them. There's a difference, you know, to pray a wholesome repetitious prayer than a heartless repetitious prayer. And so get you some life prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, and for what you do. Again, Father, we're thankful for your people tonight, Lord, as we just gather around your word. And nothing elaborate as far as choir singing, music going on tonight, but better yet, even it feels, Lord, that tonight your word's coming off your pages, Lord. We pray this same kind of prayer as a life prayer, that God, you would give us exactly what you want us to have. We want what you have for us. And Lord, the other side of that is God, help us to maintain our path so that we can receive what you have for us. No doubt there's gifts and blessings that are yet to be claimed, Lord, today, tomorrow, down the road. We pray that you just help us stay on the straight and narrow. We know it's not a perfect way, walk we have, but Lord, we want to follow you, and we know that you bless that, and you're a merciful God, and so we're thankful for that. Be with your church tonight. Bring us home safely, and bring us back again on Sunday morning prepared and ready to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody have a word they want to share before we dismiss? Just a reflection out of Proverbs tonight. All righty. Well, again, we will...